Let us turn to Psalm 139, and we read from verse 17. Psalm 139, verse 17. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O God, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You will know that in the Bible, God reveals himself to us as possessing three great powers. Omnipotence, which means he is all-powerful. Omnipresence, which means he is present everywhere at the same time. And omniscience, which means all-seeing or all-knowing. The omni comes from the Latin, which means all. These are not all his attributes, of course, but they are three memorable ones. And it's a convenient way to remember them, with the omnipotence, omnipresence, and omniscience. And we have these three in this psalm. The omnipotence is hinted at in verse 19. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. You see, there is none who can withstand God Almighty, and as judge, all who rise up against him will be dealt with. He is well able to deal with all his enemies and judge the whole earth, the teeming countless millions of mankind at the last great day. Just one expression of his omnipotence. But his omnipresence, well, you have that from verse 7. Where David says, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If he goes to heaven, God is there. If he travels to the other end of the world, he is there. And even in hell, God is in judgment. And wherever, in any place that is created, anyone can go, God is there, and no one can escape the presence of God. And of course, he's with us, his people, in love and favor, and his being everywhere and being with us is not a problem but a joy. And then his omniscience. Well, the psalm especially mentions this, the opening verses, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting, uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off, even long before I've formed a thought in my mind. The Lord knows, and so on. Verse 13, when I was being formed in my mother's womb, thou knewest, thou seest it all. Possessed me, covered me in my mother's womb, fearfully and wonderfully made, and so on. My substance was not hid from thee at that time. And he concludes the psalm. A matter of fact, his omniscience is made a matter of prayer. Search me, O God, and know my heart, and so on. So these three great powers of God, in this psalm. But our text this evening is the second part of verse 18, where David says, "When I awake, I am still with thee." As if not so much omnipotence, but omnipresence and omniscience are brought together here. He is there when I wake up in the morning, because he's everywhere, and he sees me and knows me when I wake up in the morning. A wonderfully precious truth. And you see how the psalmist, under the inspiration of the Spirit, can take great and mighty doctrine concerning God and make it a matter of great devotion and heartwarming truth. And that's, of course, always how it must be, mustn't it? The application of God's truth to our experience. And it's true for us as well. When I awake, I am still with thee. We can think and we can say to God. And he's reminding us here, of course, of night and day when I awake. And God made night and day in the beginning. In the opening verses of Genesis 1, God divided the light from the darkness, and he called the day, the light day, and the darkness night, and so on. And it was the result of God's creative work. Darkness that precedes our waking in the morning to a new day. Darkness is not the result of the fall. Physical darkness is a blessing, not a part of the curse. Darkness was there before the entrance of sin. Psalm 104, verse 20, "Thou makest darkness, and it is night." It was meant to be. It's true that in a fallen world, the darkness of night heightens things, doesn't it? It becomes a cover for wicked deeds. It can be frightening, especially to children. Terrors of the night. And in the Bible, it's a picture of sin, is darkness. It's a picture of ignorance. It's a picture of evil and so on. But literally, in itself, the darkness of the night is a created gift and is designed to be a blessing. So have a positive view of nighttime and darkness. And one blessing of it, of course, is that it is for sleep and rest, so that we can be renewed in body and mind the next day. And that each time another dark night is over and morning comes, we can say, "When I awake, I am still with thee." So this is a truth to realize each morning. Now, how is this the case? What is the significance of these words? You can easily pass them by, can't you? Read them quickly. David thinking about the preciousness of God's thinking of him, all his thoughts toward David, and how he's mindful of his servant, and it's true of us as well. And then he says, when I awake, I am still with thee. Well, one thing David means here is that this statement is a consequence. When I awake, I am still with thee. It follows upon something. And it's this. It follows upon our having committed ourselves to God last thing at night. Because if the first thing he thinks of in the morning is God, it must have been the last thing he was thinking about before he went to sleep. And of course, it's prayer, isn't it? Before we go to our rest. The last thing that we do. In chapter 4, or Psalm 4 rather, and verse 8, David has put it like this. And these are precious words, aren't they? Psalm 4 verse 8, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Never go to sleep without committing yourself to God in prayer. The last thing we do. And of course, partly the reason for this is that sleep is the gift of God and we need it. When I awake, because I've slept. Now, sleep is so natural and inevitable in that cycle every night that we can easily take it for granted and think very little of it. And especially if we can sleep well, naturally. But you see, sometimes it's hard to sleep, isn't it? And Job in chapter 7, verses 3 and 4, speaks of this. And of course, if ever a man lost sleep and had sleepless nights, it was that man because of all his trials that he went through. But Job 7 and verse 3, wearisome nights are appointed to me. When I lie down, I say, when shall I arise and the night be gone? Because he can't sleep. And I am full of tossings to and fro, turning on his bed, and he can't get comfortable, can't close his eyes, sleep won't come. Unto the dawning of the day, a whole night nearly gone, and he hasn't slept at all. And he hasn't rested, and he feels perhaps more tired at the end. And you see, God can withhold sleep. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. Holding me asleep, holding me awake, so that I can't sleep. And there are various reasons why we can't sleep, and they're not all the direct disciplines of God to us. But one thing we know is in Psalm 127 and verse 2. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. The meaning of that verse seems to be that if you get up in the morning early, which is a very good practice, and if you sit up late, which is perhaps not such a wise practice, unless there's a good reason for it, and eat the bread of sorrows, it means earning your daily bread in the sweat of your brow and this sorrow. It's what the fall has done to physical work and toil. And what he's meaning is, if you get up in the morning early, if you go to bed at night late, and if you work hard all day, that normally brings on sleep, doesn't it? Normally we're dog tired and we hit the pillow and we're gone. But it's vain for you to imagine always that that will be the case. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. Gift of God is sleep. Even when we've done everything necessary to induce that wonderful state and we can sleep all night. Even when we've tried. Sometimes it doesn't work, does it? But even if we do and there's nothing untoward, no reason why it shouldn't. Even then, it's the gift of God. Never, ever forget that. And if you have difficulty sleeping at night, it's a precious verse, isn't it, to plead, so he giveth his beloved sleep. God loves me. I am his beloved. He giveth his beloved sleep. Lord, give it to me. Give me this precious state that I might be rested and refreshed. Of course, a good conscience helps, doesn't it? And keeping right with God through the previous day and closing the day in prayer will help, because the mind is at rest. But oh, God gives us that gift, and it's a precious thing when he does. So it's a consequence then. When I awake, I am still with thee because I have slept. And if we are among those who find it easy to sleep, let's never stop thanking God for it, because there are many people, for all kinds of reasons, and not because there necessarily is anything wrong, many people who can't sleep, and it must be very trying, and it must be a very long night when sleep won't come. But pray, if you have trouble like this, so he giveth his beloved sleep. And pray that God will give you that precious boon and blessing. So you wake in the morning as a consequence of having been blessed by God when you were not even aware of it. Secondly, it's not only a consequence, but there is a carefulness here. When I awake, I am still with thee. Well then, if he says I am still with God, I've been with him all night. Even when I was asleep, I was with him. Because in the morning, still in that happy place. And so we're talking here about God's carefulness, aren't we? That he who can give us the gift of sleep has looked after us through the night. Because you see, God did not sleep, did he? He never does. He has no need. In Psalm 121, you know those verses, how it says here, Psalm 121, verses 3 and 4, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. So he can keep you overnight. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The great everlasting God, the infinite exalted one, the creator and sustainer, he doesn't need any sleep. He never changes. He fainteth not, neither is weary. He's not created like us. And so he keeps us safe. Look in this very Psalm, 139, verse 11. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, as far as God is concerned, even the night shall be light about me. The darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee, because God is exactly the same at night as he is in the day. And that means, of course, he can watch over us when we have to go to sleep. And it's a good thing he does, because you see, sleep is very like death, isn't it? It's the nearest state we are ever in to being dead. Because if you see someone sound asleep, if they're not snoring, and if they're not breathing deeply, they're unconscious. And really, one day, that body that's sleeping soundly will one day sleep in the grave. And what if we died in the night? What if something happened in the night? Totally out of our control. A break-in. Illness suddenly strikes. Something happens. Ah, when I awake, I am still with thee. I've been with thee through the past night, because God has looked after me. You remember Jacob when he fled from Esau and he slept at night in the open, and then he had that wonderful vision, that dream vision, a ladder set up on earth whose top reached to heaven, and the angels going up and down. And that rejuvenated him next morning when he awoke. He was a different man. Why? Well, because God was in heaven there speaking kind words, and the angels were going up to God to receive their orders and coming down that ladder to carry them out. In other words, God was watching over Jacob with his angels, and all was well. When Elijah slept under the juniper tree, thoroughly exhausted and worn out and depressed, an angel of the Lord was there. And there was the food and the drink and the rest and the kind words as he slept. the angel looked after Elijah. God gives his angels a special charge. Psalm 91, 11 and 12. He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. And we're glad that at night, if we commit ourselves to God and our households, we can believe that the angels are circling round about to give us their protection as the agents, the secret agents of God, to mind us and protect us. I've said this before, and I'm sure it's true, that if you could log every instance of burglary in the land, or horrible things, evil things that happen in the night, if you could separate out the homes of Christians, I'm sure you would see far, far fewer incidents of such things in the case of God's people, because they are under special protection with God when they sleep, still with God when we awake. Oh, let's be very thankful. Not only if we've slept, but next day, let's be thankful that we've had peace and safety through the night, that we've not woken up to some disastrous sight as we've come downstairs, or that no terrible thing has happened to change everything during that past night. Ah, the carefulness. When I awake, I am still with him, for I have been with him. When I was little aware of it, the Lord was there. But you know, it is true, isn't it, that even if we died in the night, in Psalm 17 and verse 15, it says, I shall awake with thy likeness. It means that when we go to heaven, after we leave the body, the soul leaves the body, we go straight to Christ, and we're received to glory. We open our eyes on that glorious world, and the first one we see is the Lord, for he receives us to glory. And so there's been a wonderful transplanting, a taking out of this world to a better. But nonetheless, even though we're prepared, if that should be, we would still humanly rather wake up in the morning and see our loved ones and be still in this world, wouldn't we? Until our time does come. So bless God for his carefulness. I find myself, you know, every day, every morning in my quiet time, forgive the personal words, but every morning in my quiet time, the time I spend with God in the morning, I find myself thanking God for a number of things in a particular order. For sleep and rest, for peace and safety, for health and strength, for warmth and comfort, for home and hearth. And I consider these things to be so precious, don't we? All do, don't we? If we have them, to whatever degree we're favoured to have them. But really, to thank him every day is a good thing. To feel grateful. Because any one of them can be taken away. Any number of them can be taken away at a stroke. Oh, I am still with thee. What a relief, what a joy to waken up in the morning. Even though maybe things are not so perfect in terms of those five things, still with him. He is still there. The carefulness of God. And then one further thing here. You've not only got the consequence and the carefulness, but you've got a commitment. When I awake, I am still with thee. And so therefore, David's first thoughts upon awakening are for God. Not anything else. not about the wretched alarm clock that has gone off all too soon, or what a dark morning it is, or how cold it feels, or what a day I've got before me. No, no. Still with thee. And he's praying. In other words, he realizes his presence the moment he awakes. God is graciously there for me as I awake. It's like when we who are parents, when our children were small and a little toddler still in a cot, and it was still such a novelty, really, to have a sleeping one, an extra member of the family. And sometimes we would go upstairs and wait at the cot for that little individual to open its eyes. And there's something very engaging about a sleeping infant, isn't there? The little rosy cheeks and the closed eyes and all tucked up snugly and sleeping peacefully. And we think, don't we, that they're at their best when they're like that. They're so beautiful, and peace and quiet as well. But how could anyone have any other thoughts than thoughts of love and protectiveness for someone like that? And then we wait by the cot, and then the little eyes flicker open, and the eyes look up to see mum or dad, and it'll smile. When I awake, I am still with daddy, with mummy. And what a tremendously secure feeling, that little one. I'm not being sentimental, it's real, it's true. Isn't it? What a tremendously secure feeling such a little one has to see mum and dad there, still there and still with them. And as parents, we endeavour, didn't we? And this is always a good aim, never to let our children go to bed at night upset or worried or with anything troubling them that would disturb their rest, but to ensure that whatever may have been the matter in the day, sort it out, settle it, make it all right, so that they can go to bed happy and they can sleep peacefully. And that's so important, isn't it? It's a terrible thing for children to cry themselves to sleep and wake up and remember that the thing that made them upset is still there. No, no. Parents try to avoid that, ever doing that. But you see, the Lord looks down upon you and me, and he sees us asleep, and he's there when we wake, and he wants our first thoughts to be of him, and the delight at the opening of the day to be good thoughts of him, grateful thoughts, loving thoughts. You see, the first thoughts we have are the freshest, aren't they, and the best. And let them be of him. And you can pray first thing in the morning. This is real godliness and piety, isn't it? This is what David did in Psalm 5, verses 2 and 3. He says this. He says, "Unto thee will I pray," Psalm 5 verse 3, "my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up." As if he's saying, when I'm still in my bed even, my first thoughts are of thee, and I will direct a telegraph prayer up to the Lord, who will hear the voice of it, and will look up by faith, believing that God is there, lovingly watching over me, who has been with me throughout. That's real godliness, isn't it? You see, whatever has occupied you most, whatever is the biggest part of your life, is the thing you tend to wake up thinking about, isn't it? Whatever has really taken you over, and really mattered to you throughout the past day, the previous day, you go to bed, it's almost on your mind. You even dream about it, perhaps. And then you wake up and begin to think about it again. But who is most worthy to be the object of all that, above every other thing? And that is the Lord Himself. I remember a dear godly Christian lady whose husband was a minister, and she was sharing with us how that sometimes at night her husband would come round and he'd be saying, "Oh Jesus, Lord Jesus," in his mind, in his dreams. I'm not surprised, knowing the godly man that he was. He's in heaven now, but this kind of thing. It's wonderful, isn't it? Remember another individual, a dear Christian woman who is also in heaven. She died in her middle age. The Lord took her early. And again, I'm not surprised, but remember her saying to us once that when she woke up one morning, she just had this wonderful desire for the Lord, and this wonderful warmth and this consciousness of the Lord's presence. And her bed was just like a bed in paradise. It was this kind of thing. It's not extreme, is it, or sentimental or over pious. This is real. When I awake, I am still with thee, the Lord featuring so largely to us as we grow in grace and in knowledge of him and make advance and progress in the Christian life. The Lord and the thoughts of God and prayer, they intertwine and interpenetrate, and they take us over in a very wonderful way, filled with the Spirit and walking with the Lord. And this is what we seek and desire, isn't it? And David, the man after God's own heart, had this commitment to God as soon as he woke up, still with him. And so, obviously, it's meaning that he wants to face the day now with the Lord, with whom he has woken. And you can do that. It's a very wonderful thing. And it's true to say, you know, that the first thoughts we have in the morning tend to determine how the day goes. And if the thoughts are godly and spiritual and prayerful, it tends to be a victory, a spiritual victory that's won right at the beginning. Other thoughts can colour the day and affect it in another kind of way altogether. And I know in certain cases, with not being well or feeling depressed, first thing in the morning is the worst part of the day. And the only way to counter it is to deliberately and consciously think, "Never mind, when I awake, I am still with thee." And it doesn't change the fact that, as Lamentations 3, verses 22 and 23 put it, "His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." And what an incentive to get up and go into the day, having woken to new compassions this morning, new expressions of the Lord's favour and affection and loving kindness, and that he's going to be with me today. And therefore I can take hold of the day, as it were, and go into it. There's an old Latin saying, isn't there? Carpe diem, which means seize the day. One of our children's teachers at the high school used to often quote that. He's a history teacher, a very nice man. And he used to quote that to the pupils, and Beth used to often come home imitating him. Carpe diem, seize the day. But it's a good motto. Get hold of it and do your very best and utmost in it every school day. But every day, because we wake with God and we commence a walk with him each day. And we can go forth in the strength and the blessing of this precious truth, still with him, and so we will be throughout the day. He does not withdraw himself from us, as if to say, I've looked after you through the night, well now you go on by yourself during the day. No, no, still with thee. His presence, oh, you can realize it all through the day until the next night and the next day, and it can be a whole cycle of 24 hours of being in the presence of God, the God whose thoughts toward us are so precious and so numerous, more in number than the sand. He's thinking about you always. He's thinking about you night and day. He's there with you night and day and for you. And when I awake each morning, I find it to be so, still with thee. What a precious thing. It's a great comfort when perhaps we have to face a day that we may be dreading. The day has come, and we've got to encounter this particular thing, got to face what's before us. We've dreaded this day for weeks, tried to put it out of our mind, but you can't get away from it or escape it. It's now come. When I awake, even on this morning, I am still with thee. You have God for company. You have God who goes before you and will be with you and will not fail you, neither forsake you. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Still with thee. May God make it so for the glory of his name. Let us sing together hymn 772.